I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father, because all these places are going to be leveled, which happened a couple years later. You worship what you do not know. We worship, we know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is worshiping, or is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. At this point, the disciples came, and they marveled that he talked to a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? Because that would be rude. But the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went into the city, and then went out of the city, excuse me, and came to him. In the meantime, the disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to him, did somebody bring him food? Has anyone brought him something to eat? Jesus said to him, no, no. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the field, for they are already white for the harvest. And he who receives reaps receives wages, and another gathers fruit for eternal life. For both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you have not labored. Others labored, and you have entered their labors. And many of the Samaritans in that city believed him because the woman testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Now the woman said, they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, let's look at that. So the Jews, or the disciples come back, and they say, what's this guy doing? What's this woman doing here? What is he doing talking to this woman? A Samaritan woman at that. Shouldn't be doing either of those things. And these guys come back, and she doesn't know who these guys are, and she just ups and leaves. Leaves her water pot and goes into the city. And she runs into town, and she finds the worst possible people that she could find, a bunch of men who have been doing her wrong for years, who possibly could be ready to kill her. And she says, you have got to come see this guy. He just told me everything that I've ever done. This guy could be the Messiah. He told me everything that I've ever done. No, he didn't. He didn't. He told her what she'd done wrong. He called her out on her sinfulness. He didn't tell her everything that she'd ever done. He told her what she'd done wrong. But that really challenged her. And she goes into town and she says, you have got to see this guy. He called me out. He called me out and told me everything that I've ever done, which is actually kind of like what Eve said to the devil in the garden. Because when the devil said, what did God say about the forbidden fruit? Eve said, well, God said, you can't look at it or touch it or taste it. You can't even touch it or you're gonna die. And God didn't say that. He said, you can't eat it. Not you can't touch it. You can't eat it. And she told the devil that, and then he was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, of course not. That's not what he said. But, so, this woman gets into Samaria and says, this guy told me everything I ever did. Come with me. Go meet him. This guy could be the Messiah. He says he's the Messiah. And these people listen to her. And they go up. They go up and they listen to this woman, this painted woman, this woman of ill repute, this woman of absolutely no character worth mentioning. And they go up to, and they believe. They listen to Jesus. And so many believe that he stays in this town for 2 days, and many believed. Lives were changed. And the disciples, in the meanwhile, while these men are coming up to have their lives changed, they say, do you need something to eat? No, no, I have food which you don't know. My food is to do the will of the Father. Did somebody give him food? Look, the harvest is ready right now. The fields are ripe. It's now. Okay, so Jesus has done this for you. In the same way that he's told the woman at the well everything she's ever done, he's told you everything that you've ever done. Because he's called you out of your sinfulness too. He knows what you've done wrong, and he's called you on it. He's given you his Spirit. He's given you a conscience, and he's called you on it. Maybe it's been in a personal encounter. Maybe it's been in a way where God has said to you, this needs to stop. Or maybe it's just been in a very standard way. Maybe it was earlier in the service. Well, this is the great thing about Lent. Rather in that just generic, what I have done, what I have left undone. Maybe it's when he said, you shall have no other gods before me. Maybe you've done that. Maybe he told you that you've made for yourself an idol. Maybe he's told you that you invoked with malice the name of your Lord, your God. Maybe you've taken the name of the Lord in vain. Maybe you haven't kept the Sabbath day holy. Maybe you haven't honored your father and mother. Maybe you've committed murder. Maybe literally, maybe in your heart. Jesus says it's just as bad. Same with committing adultery. Maybe it's been literally. Maybe you've done it in your heart. Same with theft. Same with false witness. Same with covetousness. Maybe Jesus is calling you out right now and saying, you've done this. And he's telling you, this is what you've done. Maybe when you were kneeling there in front of him today, he was speaking to you directly, saying, my child, this is what you did. This is what you've done. I've forgiven you. The passage from Romans, I admit, Romans is a challenging book for me. I just don't like theology, and Romans is Paul's most theological book. And it's challenging for you, for me, probably for you too. I don't know, maybe not. But it's challenging for me. But the part I love about it While we were yet sinners, God sent his son to die for us. He forgave us. So we can go into town, regardless of our sin, regardless of our shame. We don't have to go to the river at noon. We can go in broad daylight today. We can go in front of God and everybody and say, I've been forgiven. Let me tell you about this guy I've met. Because he told me what I did wrong and forgave me. And it doesn't matter what I did. Right then and there, it was all washed clean. What did he say to the adulteress? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Of course, we have another choice. It's the choice that the people had in the wilderness of sin. No double meaning there, I'm sure. When they cried out against Moses because there was no water, and they cried out, give us water. And Moses struck the staff with his stick, and water flowed out, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, which means striving and contending and basically fussing and fighting and just making a general pain of yourself. And it's not so much that passage which really explains it, it's the passage from the Psalm that really shows us what the problem is there. And if we look at that, oh that today, this is verse 7 and 8, oh that today you would hearken to his voice and harden not your hearts as your forebears did in the wilderness at Meribah and on that day at Massah. He is speaking to you. He is calling you out. He is saying, this is what you've done. We have our Maker's mark on us. We have his Spirit in our hearts. We have him saying, you know when you've done wrong. And when we transgress, when we cross that line, we know it. We can feel it. We get that achy, rotten, dadgummit, I shouldn't have done that feeling. And we have two choices. Suck it up, go to him and repent, or harden our hearts. And when we talk about hardening our hearts, we think of Pharaoh. We think of kingdoms destroyed, and we think of the death of the firstborn. So, we have an option. See, today, there are two paths before you. God is speaking to you. He's telling you what you've done. He's telling you everything you've ever done. He's calling you out of your sinfulness. He's saying, I forgive you. Repent, be forgiven. Go and tell everybody how fantastic my biscuits are. Told you I'd go back there. Or harden your hearts. Turn away from me. Close your eyes. Plug your ears. Pretend you don't hear my voice. Harden your heart. Watch your little kingdom fall. Watch your firstborn die. Because that's what happens when you harden your heart. So, you can harden your heart as your forebears did and the day of provocation at Massah and Meribah, where you can repent and you can go into town and you can tell everyone that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. He knows what we've done, and he's accepted us and forgiven us. And that is the greatest news that anyone could ever share, and it is well worth sharing. Are you still talking about that? Yes. And I will talk about it till the end of time, because it is worth talking about. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.